Today on The Grave Talks, part two of Whispering Souls Paranormal Investigations, a conversation with Patty Henderson, Ricky Henderson, and Chris Jerezo. Have you kind of found that your team has kind of a different skill set? Maybe, you know, maybe Chris really specializes in one area, maybe Ricky in another. Do you kind of put them into where their strong suit is, or is everybody kind of pretty well versed in all of it?
So it's not so much as a strong point or a weakness in within the area of a location. It's more so of what they bring to the table in the sense of their equipment. So we all have a piece of equipment that we favor over something else. Mm-hmm. I'm not a person that likes to use dowsing rods. I just shake too much, and I just don't feel that when I use them, you're going to get precise evidence from them because I'm shaking, I'm moving them. Nothing's moving them but me. So that throws that right out the picture with that type of equipment. Now, if I'm using the Phasma box and Ricky's using the Phasma box, I don't want us to be in areas that are close because then our guests are coming from one Phasma box to the next Phasma box. We like to kind of spread it out and make sure that all our guests get to utilize all this equipment that they see on TV. They get to see it within area in different areas. But also, I like to kind of rotate the team. I don't like the team to, if we go to Castle Blood 3 times out of the year, I don't want Chris to be in the embalming room every single time because then she gets bored. And Right. Then if we have reoccurring guests, they get bored of seeing Chris in that area.
Chris in the embalming room again.
Yeah. So, you know, we always like to keep what we do new and fresh. So when you come to an event, we're always changing it up. So there's not a particular way we do stuff. I mean, the overall process on how we do it, yeah, that may be the same, but we always have twists on what we do. I always want to keep it new and fresh for every single guest. Like I said, whether you're new or reoccurring that comes, that it's very enjoyable for you, even if you don't get to talk to a ghost.
So I'll ask Chris, do you have a certain piece of equipment? Like, say, Patty says, oh, you're in the bedroom. You're not in the embalming room tonight, but you're in the child's the child's bedroom. And tonight you're using the spirit box. And then you go, right. Oh, I love spirit box night. Do you have a piece of equipment that you kind of feel like you're pretty good at, or you really enjoy that piece of equipment? Because I think it would, you know, using multiple pieces of equipment always, I think, adds a lot to the investigation. But I could see how you could specialize, like the dowsing rods. I don't think I would be particularly great at them because I don't know that I would trust that I'm not doing it myself somehow. But, you know, maybe there's a piece of equipment that you particularly enjoy. And then when you find out you're doing the spirit box at night, like, yes, finally.
Right. I really like using, I have like two things I like. I have the SLS camera, which is, I don't know if you've ever seen like the Xbox, how they have like little stick figures that show up mm-hmm. as you're doing the game on your TV. But it's connected to a tablet and, you know, you just kind of have a special app with it and you walk around and you have somebody standing there and then all of a sudden this other little figure pops next to them. And it's like people love seeing that. And then you interact with it and you'll be like, hey, can you shake their hand or jump up and down? And it's I think it's pretty amazing. And people like visual stuff. So I feel like they look at that and, you know, it's, I love using it. And then I also love using flashlights. It's very simple. You just set these flashlights to barely go on. And when you're talking and asking questions and you start getting direct answers, people are just like, wow, how did that even happen? And then you tell the energy to back off and turn the light off and they listen to you and, you know, you're dealing with something there and it makes it exciting for everyone. And so that's my two favorite things that I like to use a lot. So
what about you, Ricky? What do you enjoy?
So I'm a big fan of this piece of equipment called the Phasmabox. It's a computer program. It works kind of like a spirit box where it scans through the different radio frequencies. It just it cuts out that annoying chattering noise of the scanning. So I think things that come through it is a lot clearer. I like things that are kind of live in a sense where, I ask a question, I get that instant feedback without having to go back and replay a recorder and try and be like, oh, well, this person asked that. Well, they like talking to you. You're going to ask stuff about this. I'd rather get that instant feedback and try and build on those questions rather than having that delay and playing them back.
Do you, since you are kind of unique in what you do, and you invite guests to join you on these locations, and there are other paranormal investigative groups that don't. They just go out and investigate with their group, and then they get together and review their findings. Do you still get together and review findings that, or get together and talk about the experience at a location?
Well, what we like to try to do is before the guests arrive, we like to try to pick an area of the location and who's ever working that night, maybe do a small little EVP together. But also, we do as a team try to get together, and everybody's so busy with their schedules. But we were trying to go to Crescent, and we had 3 days before our event as a team to just the team, just something fun to do, us go investigate, see what we can capture. They had closed it down on us. So we were kind of upset about that. But we're trying to plan something else to go to one of these locations as just a team without our guests and do our thing. And we don't get to do that when we hold events. We don't get to see how everybody is operating. I mean, we've all been together for such a long time. We have an idea of, Chris is using this, and this is how Chris flows in her groups, and Ricky does this. So we all have that instinct with everybody, but it's nice to be as a group and be in the same room and investigate. So we try to do that, but we also try to do other things besides investigating. It's not just all about the ghost huntings.
Because I did see online, Patty, that you are an animal rights advocate. And I did want to say thank you for that because I think that's so important. And, I always feel like giving a voice to the voiceless, which might be special needs kids, it could be the elderly, but animals in particular. Those are the three groups for me that I believe you should speak up for.
Yes, because there's a lot of people out there that feel that animals aren't people, they don't have feelings, but they do. Some of these animals are smarter than some of these people, I'm going to say, in this world. But yeah, it's sad to see a poor little animal out in the cold, and by looking in their eyes that they're cold or hungry or whatever. And you have a human that just neglects them because they just look at it as, oh, it's just fur. They don't feel like the same way I feel. They don't have that emotional side like me as a human. And that's not true.
Well, and
So
that is why I have a little heated cat house on my front porch for a cat that adopted me.
oh, how cute.
Yeah, there was a location that I saw that I am just totally intrigued by that you've gone to, and it's called the Yellow Dog Village. I had never heard of this place, so I had to do a little dive into the Yellow Dog Village. This is
Yes.
an abandoned village. Now,
Yes.
Chris or Ricky can, because both of you are into history, does one of you want to run with the story behind this place? Because it's like 26 buildings, there's a park, and it's abandoned. And you look at pictures of this place,
Yeah,
it's
so
the
it
creepiest
used to
thing.
be a mining community. There were houses set up for all the miners to live in, and the local townspeople, they used to call the miners yellow dogs, and that was the whole whole place that the name came from, Yellow Dog Village. The miners just kind of took the name and ran with it. You know, somebody call your name, you're just like, yeah, sure, whatever. They're taking a run with it. But it became to be abandoned because of issues with the water. I don't remember exactly.
It was E. coli. Yeah.
Oh.
It was
really bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was so
people
bad.
Were
they
sick.
Up and left.
Yeah.
And left all their stuff there.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's what's interesting when you see pictures from this place, because like there's just TVs, there's dolls, mm-hmm. there's furniture. And it looks like in some cases, now I haven't ever been there, I'm just looking at pictures, but it does look like people just up and left.
Yes, they did. They just picked up and left all their stuff and just left.
So
and then it came abandoned.
And with that, because now it's abandoned, of course you see an abandoned building, let alone an abandoned village, then you just assume haunted, right? What
yes.
do you guys feel about it? Do you feel that there's something, you know, there's some presence there?
Well, we're going to let Ricky tell you this because he had a great experience.
He did.
I did.
This goes with our little scaredy cat.
So it was, in my opinion, I would say that the place is haunted. Some houses definitely more active than others. Because I know there were some team members that felt as if they weren't getting anything that night. Me, on the other hand, I had a lot happen. In the one house that I was working in, two different houses assigned to me, and I was working in the one, my group, it was towards the end of the night, people were allowed to just kind of roam and investigate where they wanted to, and I didn't have a group at that time. So the investigator I was with, Jenna, she was actually, me and her decided to go do an EVP session in the one house. And while we were asking questions, out of the corner of my eye, and it's pitch black in this place, so it's, I mean, you can't see anything. I see this black mass just appear. Didn't look like a person, didn't look like anything, just like this black mass appear and just go, just sit there for a second and then just dart up the steps. And I look at Jenna, I'm getting chills talking about it now. I look at Jenna, I said, I just saw something. I said, I'm leaving. See you, bye. And they're like, well, let's go upstairs and investigate. I'm like, no, we're not doing that. And later on, more people came back. My mother came back. Jenna and all of them, they went upstairs, did an EVP session. And they'd actually said that the house was my house, used my name. And I'm like, oh, well, that's good. You can step there with the random black mass and I will be outside doing whatever it is I do.
Wow. Now, Chris, have you ever picked up anything like that there? Maybe
you
not
know,
that
when
extreme.
I was there, I had about three houses and we had a few things here and there. When I was telling you about my little SLS camera, we did pick up a figure and they were like rocking in a rocking chair and just kind of chilling out there. And it stayed there for a very long time. It waved to a few people. That's pretty much all I had there.
That's what I find so interesting about those cameras is how does that even happen? How does, you know what I mean? Like how are they able to pick up on that rocking and waving? I just find it so interesting when you see the footage from those.
Right.
Yeah. So the SLS camera, it's a camera that detects motion and, you know, the program that you're running with it and using that camera, it creates those stick figures and it looks for that motion and it's finding motion that you're not even seeing with your own eyes, with the unnaked eye. Just like a lot of the equipment, it's picking up sounds that you're not hearing with your own ears. It works kind of in the same way almost. Or just picks up that movement that's just, you can't see, but it can.
I just think that's so interesting. And I would think a location like that, that's a large location with 26 different buildings.
Yes.
And so, some of the buildings aren't in great shape either.
Yeah.
They're a little scary at some points.
There was probably, I'd say, anywhere from 4 to 6 that we kid with our guests that we're like, you can't go in there. It's just for your own safety. And we tell them we're not like hiding any type of dead bodies from you. There's no floor. basically. So you want to walk in, you're going straight to the basement real quick.
And of course, there's always that one person that's like, well, let's go anyways. And I'm like, well, there's something wrong with you. We're not doing that.
Right. You really should heed this warning.
Yeah.
Now, is there, with that particular location, I'm assuming there's a group that owns it or runs it. So there's some organization and people investigating it. And they kind of let you know, like, this building really is condemned. Because I don't want you guys to find that out by firsthand experience.
Well, actually, I'm all about when I'm trying to find locations, I like to find locations that you didn't see on TV. They're small. Nobody knows about them. And when I came upon Yellow Dog Village, and I reached out to them, it's a husband and wife that own that village. And I think what they want to do is fix the housing up and have it like a little small community again. So when I brought to their attention, actually me and Chris, they do tours there during the day and on the weekends. So we decided to go there to do the tour, to look at the location. I always want to look at an area to even see if it's feasible for us to hold an event there. So we had went there, we had talked to the two people. I don't know if they're married or if they're boyfriend or girlfriend, but it was a couple that runs the tours for the owner. And we talked with them. We told them, you know, our spiel, what we'd like to do, like to come in. And they gave that opportunity. Well, the owner gave us the opportunity to come in and do that. So I believe we were pretty much the first team to actually go in there and investigate. Now, we believe that you don't have to go into a location that's classified as haunted. We feel souls are all around us. We don't feel that they're just, you know, like Moundsville in West Virginia. Everybody knows about the prison. Everybody's like, it's haunted because they've seen it on TV. Well, there could be a small prison that nobody ever heard about. That could be haunted too. I'm sure there was deaths in there. So again, it goes back to, we didn't live back in the 1800s. So you don't know what was on this land and who died on this land. So these souls can be anywhere.
And do you think that, because I've talked to other investigators and they get very excited about a new location, and I'm using air quotes there because they're not new by any means, but meaning a location that's not been investigated repeatedly, every group's gone in there, that they feel like they get more activity if they're one of the first. Do you feel like that?
I think it's like a hit and miss, kind of. Mm-hmm. You know, we've gone into locations where, let's just divide the location in half, and half the team had off the wall activity, but the other half of the area of the location didn't. So if we've gone into an area that no other team, nobody has investigated, yeah, sometimes we can say we got a lot, but to be honest, there's times that we absolutely got nothing. So I don't know if it matters if a team has gone in or not. I do believe that some of these locations that you have seen on TV and a lot of teams go in and investigate, it's hyped up. And it's actually somewhat of a letdown because people are like, oh, it's so haunted. You got to go there. And you get super excited because you think all this activity is going to happen. And then you go in and it's just like, I didn't get anything. You know, right. I've gotten more locations nobody's heard about compared to one that has been advertised nonstop and people know so much about. So, you know, I guess it can go either way.
So I'm going to ask each of you this question. I'll start with you, Chris. Is there a location that you've been to that either was your favorite location, you love going there, or you really had a very interesting experience someplace that just really stands out to you?
I have to say, I think the place that I've had the most experiences is the West Virginia Penitentiary.
Okay.
every time I go there, it's, you know, it's off the charts for me.
And we did an episode with them a while back. That place sounds like it, when you think of a place you're going to get activity, that would be the place. It almost seems, when you look at the pictures and everything, mm-hmm. it definitely feels like
when
that.
When you walk in there, you feel the heaviness and, you know, but then again, there's places in there that nobody gets any activity at all. And, you know, it's hit or miss sometimes, but, you know, I've been lucky enough every time I've gone there, I've always had activity and I would investigate in the same spot. And the person that I was always talking to, you know, would come through all the time for me. And, you know, but I can't say that there's that much activity throughout the whole place.
But that kind of makes sense to me. You could have made a connection with a spirit that's there and you come in and it's like, yay, Chris is here tonight. So you get that interaction.
I do believe that sometimes they do. Mm-hmm. I do know that the prisoner that was killed in that area, he always did come through. And I've had customers actually say, there's, you know, we see something standing behind you. And I always felt his energy. And, you know, I mean, you kind of don't get too nervous about it because I think they feed off of that. Mm-hmm. And if you're comfortable, they just kind of relax and they enjoy having people, you know, be there and talk to them. So, you know, but I was really lucky to have that experience there. So,
Chris, is there a place outside of the Yellow Dog Village that you really, really like, or maybe had a really interesting experience at? I mean, excuse me, Ricky. Excuse me. Chris is like, Carol, you just asked me that.
She's like, I backed myself. So I'm like,
sorry.
Definitely for me, it's Rolling Hills Asylum. Yellow Dog was the first place I ever saw a shadow person, if you will. I was one of the only people on the team that hadn't seen one yet. So, but Rolling Hills Asylum was kind of where I had one of those movie or TV moments, if you will, where stuff starts flying and, you know, the stuff that people expect to see every time they go ghost hunting happened to me. Oh, shit moments.
What? Like, things started flying?
Well, so I was walking my group from, and I was all the way up, what was that, the fourth floor?
The third floor.
Third floor.
I think you're in the third.
Basically the attic. and I was walking from this one room, I believe it was like the maintenance guy lived there in that room, to where the like head nurse lived. And in the process of walking there, we decided to like go down this one hallway and we were going to check out this one room down there. And I'm at the front of the group and all of a sudden this door in front of me just slams shut. And I mean, slam shut, like the wall shook type of slam shut. And it starts shaking like something's trying to open it. And I'm getting goosebumps again. And I'm just like frozen place, and so is most of my group. And then this one girl in my group, she just rootin' tootin' too, walks up to the door to go and open it. I'm like, don't open that. She's like, why? Nothing's wrong. And then open the door. And I'm like, you're the type of person that, you know, hides from the serial killer in the room with all the chainsaws and
right.
like saw blades.
You're the girl who runs into the closet instead of out of the door.
You're the one that gets everybody killed.
Right.
Yeah.
See, I'd have been the same way. Like, that is pretty intense. So,
but didn't open it back up? Didn't the door open back up?
No, the girl opened the door back up.
Oh, she opened it.
Yeah, the girl opened the door back up.
So, Patty, what about you? I'm going to guess you have a number of different places. Can you pick one?
Yeah. I also like Rolling Hills. I really enjoy that place. No matter what floor you go on, you get activity. Plus, I love my girl Sharon. When we go there, she's such a sweetheart to us. But I think I like Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum. I've been there so many times and it doesn't disappoint with activity. We've never held an event there. They do their own little personal events at that location. But I've had my name said numerous times. I've seen my first shadow person there. I've actually seen a couple. I've had them come towards me. I've been touched there. It's just, so much activity that I could be here all day talking to you about it. It's just crazy of how much activity that I get there when I go there.
And I mentioned this at the very beginning of this about when Ricky was little, there was a haunting in his bedroom. What was that?
So we lived in a duplex at the time, and he was 2 years old. Me and my husband were sitting on the couch, and he went upstairs to play with his toys and stuff. And his bedroom was the only bedroom upstairs. He comes down screaming, and he's like, "Mommy, Mommy, there's a mean old man upstairs. He won't let me play with my toys." And, you know, for a two-year-old to explain in detail what this man looked like, it was amazing. He knew he had this brown long coat on. He was wearing, like, not a cowboy hat. I don't even know what kind of type of hat. Not like a ball cap or anything. Well, that's not what you said when you were two.
I think that's what you're trying to describe.
But he said he had a hat, a brown hat on. And I guess he went to go play with one of his toys. And the guy said, "You touch that toy, I will smack you." And Ricky left, and he come downstairs screaming and crying. And he would never sleep up there. So we had to bring all his toys down. If he didn't sleep in the bed with us, he slept on the couch, but he refused to go up there. He wouldn't even go up during the day. So years went on, and now he's 4 years old. Now, us as adults, well, some of us may not remember 2 years ago, but most of us adults do remember things that may have happened in the past. Usually kids from 2 to 4 don't remember that much stuff. So 4 years old, he went upstairs and the same situation happened. And he even gave more details, but it was the same guy, the same description he described at 2. And what had happened when he was 4. And I know my grandmother, which would have been his great grandmother, loved taking him all the time and watching him. So one night when me and my husband were sleeping, we actually heard it sound like boxes just fell in his room. And in the house that we lived in, it had those little small cubby holes that you could stack maybe 2 containers, if that, in them. So we didn't have much stuff up in his room that was stacked up. And we went up there, nothing was touched, but it literally sounded like something tipped over. So we're like, okay, maybe Ricky did actually see something. And with my experience and keeping an open mind, I do believe that he actually saw something.
What's interesting is you as a child, there was an imaginary friend. I'm using air quotes again. And then the same thing happened to Ricky, but that wasn't a friend, but he saw somebody repeatedly.
He'll tell you he got bad genes from me.
Yeah.
Do you remember that at all, Ricky?
No, I don't. I barely even remember living in that house. I'm going to be honest. I mean, I don't remember much of anything.
No, I'm like you. I don't really remember much of anything before I was like 6 or 7. There's a little snapshots. Yeah. That's so interesting. I'm glad I remembered to ask about that because when I saw that, I'm like, what happened to little Ricky? Poor guy. And one other thing I did want to ask that about that I saw on your website that I did think was interesting because you mentioned giving back. And I do think the haunted teachings are a way of giving back and helping people. Like through your group investigations and letting people come with you and kind of giving people like a ghost hunting 101 kind of how to, I think it's really important. A lot of people are interested in doing this. They just don't know where to start.
Yes. People are fascinated by them. We have a good time doing it too. And, you know, one thing that we tell everybody that whatever you come to of ours, whatever type of event it may be, we don't consider ourselves experts. We utilize our experiences, our equipment, the scientific method to bring to the table about what we feel with the ghost hunting.
And we enjoy being able to instill what we believe on others. And we like to get feedback from them and listen to their experiences and how they feel when they ghost hunt, kind of what they get from it and how they go about doing it. And, you know, some of the stuff that we bring to the table, people didn't even realize it, you know, and it's such a basic item for ghost hunting. Like, for example, not chewing gum when you're ghost hunting. People don't realize that, you know, you're doing an EVP and you hear people going,
right,
you know,
smacking their gum.
And people just don't think. And it's not that they're being rude or anything of the sort. It's just human nature. You put some gum in your mouth and you forget about it. But there's a lot of little items, just your basic ghost hunting, that when you're going in, those are stuff that you need to keep in mind. You know, you never should go alone. You always should have someone with you. And I do that with our events. My investigators always work together. They're never alone. There's always someone with each other.
Until I get scared and leave.
Until Ricky gets scared and leave.
I don't blame you, Ricky. I just don't. I'd be the same way.
But they enjoy hearing what we bring to the table, how we see things. And that kind of goes back with our name and our logo as being Whispering Souls Paranormal. I mean, even with my logo, there's meaning behind our name and that logo. And the logo basically instills that us as a team, we all believe that we are here on Earth. But if you had a door to go to another world, that's the spirit world. We believe that there's spirits all around us. It's just like opening a door and stepping into their world. And I designed the logo around that. And we do believe they're all around us. And it's just stepping into their world, trying to find out about them. I mean, where you're sitting right now, what you see, and you start talking to the spirit, they may not see your house. They may not see that. Mm-hmm. You know, time stands still in the other world. So we don't know what they're seeing right now. They may be in an open field, but you see your house. That's why we do what we do, to try to get those answers. None of us are experts, and none of us are going to know everything about the paranormal world until you die. And that's how we look at it. And that's what we kind of preach to our guests wherever we're at, whether it's doing the teachings or even at our events.
So is the best way to get information about where you're going to be, or maybe someone would like to join you, would that be through the website, whisperingsoulsparanormal.com, and yes, Facebook, maybe?
Yeah, they can. We are on TikTok. We're on Instagram, Facebook, the website. No matter wherever they go, there's always a link to one or the other. So if they want to follow us on Facebook, our website link is always there to check out our website, our website, or vice versa.
Well, I want to say thank you to each of you for doing this tonight. It was a lot of fun talking to you, and I really connect with Ricky.
Well, thank you. I'm glad somebody does.
I'm fascinated by it, but I can't even do what you do.
He's like 6 foot, 230 some pounds. So, you know, when he goes running, which you wouldn't expect him to go running because he's seen something manifesting, you have to chuckle a little bit.
I'm just telling you, I'm relating to you, Ricky. I really, really am.
It's between him and another gentleman, Zach, on our team. They're the biggest scaredy cats there are. Them two are the first out the door if something appears.
I relate. I totally do.
They will literally run you over to get out the door.
Oh, you guys, this was fun tonight.
So if Carol was with us, we'd have three people that would knock us over to get out the door.
Yeah, absolutely. And that wraps up our conversation with Whispering Souls Paranormal. If you'd like more information about them or would like to join them on an investigation, visit their website at whisperingsoulsparanormal.com. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advanced episodes, everything commercial free, become a Gravekeeper. You can sign up on Apple Podcasts, where you can try it for 3 days free, or go to patreon.com/thegravetalks. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us here at The Grave Talks, thank you for listening.